Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for yet another Fireside Chat as part of our 3PL Summit here at FreightWaves. I'm Kaylee Nix and very excited to bring back a familiar face, not just to FreightWaves, but also in the 3PL world, champion for the progress of brokerages everywhere and ranking leader of the Transportation Intermediaries Association. And thank you for joining us for the summit. And we've got some good topics to continue to dig into here.
Thank you, Kaylee. Always happy to be with you.
So as we know, we're continuing to see the struggles of this kind of very persistent down market, even as we move into 2024. The hope is there. People are becoming a little bit more hopeful as we round out this first quarter than they were, I think, at the end of 2023. But the reality is we still have not seen the inflection point that we wanted to yet. And in this time, broker-carrier relationships continue to be paramount to survival, especially for your brokerages. That's what we're going to get into a little bit today. So I want to start off just by asking you, from your perspective, where is the tension? Where is the tightness in broker-carrier relationships that continues to exist in a down market? And how are people fighting through it?
Yeah. So here's a tension that's probably as old as the Phoenicians, as I had an old colleague who used to say, that there's always a level of distrust, and that's age old. And so how you combat that in a down market is particularly interesting because brokers are suffering and carriers are suffering. As we know, there's excess capacity in the marketplace for good reason. There was heady times during the pandemic where we needed that capacity. It was dear. And so a lot of people got into that marketplace. Now, freight volumes are sluggish. Consumer demand is okay, but they're spending more on services than on goods. And so trucking companies and owner operators are really suffering. So are brokerages, right? As you've seen from the announcements of, you know, big companies laying off people or big companies with earnings that are very down, brokerages are having a tough time too. So how do you make sure that there is that trust? That's a hard thing. I think that there are those in the owner operator space who are willing to talk and want to have a conversation about it. And there are those who are just committed to the distrust. When you are confronted with really good economic data, you know, Ken Adamo from DAT does a fabulous job of breaking out what the gross margins are for brokers, right? So right now it's about 12 to 14% on average. And many, many brokerages that I know are much less than that. And yet you have people who don't believe it. That's a tough place to be.
So as you mentioned, those margins are razor thin when you compare them to the heyday of that pandemic freight time, right? 2021, 2022, we know that our brokers were making hand over fist. And even in an upmarket, that can create some tension between the carriers, right? Your carrier's always wondering, man, is this also something where I'm missing out on getting the full information of the deal, knowing that this broker is making more money than I could possibly be being? And it's that very sticky point, right? Is how do you hold trust in the down market versus how do you hold trust in the upmarket? When we see now a lot of these brokerages, as you're reporting, have lower earnings, worse earnings than expected, seeing layoffs, seeing company closures just all over, that also can add that little seed of distrust on both your carrier side and on your shipper side. How do you, as maybe a bigger broker who's sitting there and wanting to recapture some business back from your carriers, how do you say, hey, listen, I know that you're afraid of working with a broker in this marketplace. I know that you're a little bit trepidatious when it comes to getting back into the brokerage space, but I've got you. I'm here for you. I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah. So I think part of it is having those relationships. I talked to a big broker member just this past week, and they value the relationships they have with their carriers. And having that relationship where the carriers know that they can rely upon them, they'll get paid faster. I mean, you know this. There's some shippers that are 90-day payout, right? 90 days, whereas brokers are less than 30 days pay. And so they are concerned about the carrier's bottom line. They are concerned about giving them regular business if they trust each other, if they work well together. So it's incredibly valuable for a broker to have those kind of relationships. And so I think one of the things that they value is having that conversation, saying, here's how we're doing, here's what's going on, and having the understanding that they're doing the best they can as the carriers are doing the best they can. You know, one quibble I'll just say, during the pandemic, yes, brokers were doing great, But the carriers were doing even better because the capacity was so scarce. And so they were able to just charge as much as they could, really, because their services were so in demand. And so it is obviously a dramatic shift now. That being said, the shippers really have the leverage now, and they're used to, they want to pay as little as they can get away with, right? So it's also incumbent on brokers to educate shippers to say, here, you could do cut rate carriers, sure, but don't you want to have a carrier that you can trust and work with that may be slightly more expensive, but actually do what they say they do, and you don't have to worry about it? That's kind of the education that we think is important too.
So then this feeds right into our next topic, which I still feel like has not been fleshed out enough. And that is the position of fraud in the space. And we know that we are continuously fighting this good fight against trying to mitigate brokerage fraud, carrier fraud, all of the above, and just fraud really in general in the transportation space. It's kind of like the many-headed hydra, right? You cut it off at one point and it pops up again in another place. As we see this very big attention being paid to your broker-carrier relationship, is that one of those ways that combats fraud, is building continued trust and then making it less likely for maybe your shipper to seek out those sketchy options that are out there? Because they know that they have this good relationship and they can maintain it with somebody who has proven results.
Yeah, 100%. And in fact, you know, we have worked with some external stakeholders, some external trucking stakeholders exactly on this point, because fraud is hurting everybody along the supply chain. And you have bad actors who are professionals in the space, either perpetrating themselves, portraying themselves as a broker or portraying themselves as a carrier, or in some rare instances portraying themselves as just shipper. And what that means is you cannot do business as normal. And so what we're saying is you've got to maintain those relationships. We've got to work together. And, you know, one of the things too that we just released is guidelines for shippers so that they can also be part of the solution. So for example, when you have a carrier come to your facility to do the pickup, make sure that this is a carrier that you actually got the on the bill of lading, that's on the information that the broker has told you about. And this protects the carrier too. And this is something that they are saying, make sure that you're doing business with whom you're supposed to be doing business. It is incumbent on all of us to be part of that.
And I think it's wild that we have to point out that very small, simplistic fact, right? But at the end of the day, it is that simple as taking those very basic steps to protect yourself from fraud. And starting there as a baseline is the best place to be. But of course, we know that as our industry has gotten deeper into the weeds of fraud, we have now seen technology solutions pop forward to combat some of that stuff. And I know that Highway is one of those things that is top of people's mind, right? To call it a company just directly by their name. We've seen that in the buy-in to that space. When it comes to the actual reliability and the true significance of fraud technology like this, is this a space where you have your shippers, your brokers, and your carriers all able to put their trust into these systems? Or is it still going to take some time to really work it out?
Yeah, I think, look, I think well of Highway, obviously. I would say this, I think we've got to figure out, there's no silver bullet, in other words, meaning that there are going to be a number of different technological solutions. And some of our, you know, our load boards are providing that because they want to be part of the solution too. We have other insurance companies that want to be part of the solution. We are all under, you know, factoring companies want to be part of the solution. We're all looking at how we can uncover the pieces of fraud that we're seeing. And so, yes, I mean, I think having, we don't need to have uniformity necessarily, but we have to have a comprehension of what those different entities can bring to the table, whether it's figuring out that there is fraud being factored through a company, whether there's insurance fraud, whether there's MC number registration fraud, all of that comes together. And so can we have a full portrait of what that looks like? That to me is most important. You know, one of the things that we're doing as part of our fraud task force is this fraud data collection, where we're really trying to put our arms around, what does this look like? How expensive is this? How much time is this wasting for us? And we're partnering with the International Factoring Association because they have such visibility from a monetary perspective into the space.
So rounding it out with that, what I mentioned at the very, very top of this fireside chat is fighting the good fight. And that's something that TIA does and really works hard at as is part of your core mission, right? It's that thing that really continues to be just an absolute push forward for the industry and for the association. So the thing is going forward for your guys in a mission, what does that look like when it comes to the fraud fight? Is that more advocacy? Is it more education? Is it just talking about the topic and making it visible? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's an all of the above approach. You know, advocacy, we are working on whether or not there could be model legislation that A, would enforce certain rules that are already on the books in terms of, for example, you know, not having a principal place of business being registered for an MC number, for example, right? That's an existing regulation that's generally not enforced. So could we have more enforcement around that? So legislation, advocacy, obviously, education too, because, you know, as sophisticated as these professional bad actors are, they're constantly evolving and changing sort of their schemes. And so we've got to educate our membership as they evolve what the newest kind of fraud is, because it's never the same and it's always changing. And so education is part of it. Using the technology that we have such smart people who are advancing, using that technology, you know, the last piece is sort of the hardest, which is this enforcement piece of getting state and federal actors really to start prosecuting. One of the reasons why we're doing that data collection is that if we confront our federal and state authorities with, here's what this looks like, it's a little bit more meaningful than just saying, here, he lost a $1,500 load, right? To me, this is how the enormity of the problem, and here are the top 10 bad areas where it's emanating from. Let's get together. Let's figure this out.
It's going after the true 80,000 pound gorilla versus the individual little 8-pound monkeys that are around the space.
Thank you
for being here to participate in our 3PL summit. As you mentioned, advocacy, education, and forward-looking progress is part of that TIA's mission. If people watching this today, maybe you are a new broker in the space, maybe your brokerage isn't part of the association, where can people go to get involved with you guys in any of those pillars?
Yes, TIANet.org. That's the same address across all of our platforms out there.
And word has it you guys are getting geared up for your events this year. What are we expecting from TIA in 2024?
Yeah, so April 10th through 13th in Phoenix, Arizona. And fraud will be a cornerstone of what we talk about. Fraud, of course, AI. We've got to talk about, you know, what the AI... And certainly, I think, you know, we haven't touched about it too much, but automation should help in some senses, but we always have to remember it starts and ends with relationships. So yes, technology, AI, but also relationships, because we got to know who we're doing business with. So I hope we see you, Kaylee, out in Phoenix, but we hope we see all of you too.
All right. And thank you for that. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Again, as always, and thank you guys for staying tuned for this Fireside Chat, as well as for the rest of our 3PL Summit here today. If you've missed any of our Fireside Chats so far, make sure that you find them on demand on YouTube after. We'll see you guys right back after this Fireside Chat.